You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome to your Canadiens Connection on Rocket Sports Radio. This premier hockey podcast featured at CanadiansConnection.fm brings you the latest news, in-depth analysis, and expert commentary about the NHL's most storied franchise, the Montreal Canadiens. Hosted by Rick Stevens and Amy Johnson. Our team of credentialed journalists provides behind-the-scenes insight on the Canadiens, designed to inform, entertain, and engage Habs fans around the globe. We are proud to be the trusted source for all things Habs for more than a decade. This is the Canadiens Connection Podcast.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Canadiens Connection Podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio, where each and every week we're talking to you about the Montreal Canadiens, keeping you informed, engaged, and entertained about your favorite hockey team, the Habs. My name is Amy Johnson. I am your host for today's show, and that would be for episode 390 of Canadiens Connection. This week's show is titled After the Deadline. Did the Montreal Canadiens miss an opportunity? Big questions that are going to get posed today as we dive into that. And when I say we, I mean not only myself, but my wonderful co-host who's here in the studio with me, our founder and president here at Rocket Sports. His name is Mr. Rick Stevens, and I am hoping that you are on the mend.
I think I'm on the mend.
Hey, your voice is not quite so baritone this week.
And thanks to those that that provided suggestions about lozenges and treatments and all kinds of medical ailments and remedies, and appreciate that. It is after the trade deadline.
It is.
It's we're into March. Clocks are going forward.
Ugh.
First F1 race of the year in Australia. So
Paralympics just got underway. Opening ceremonies were on Friday night.
I like that sledge hockey.
Yeah, there's a few Paralympic events that I really enjoy watching, and they deserve just as much. Those athletes deserve just as much support. And hey, it's spring training. Baseball game preseason baseball games are underway. It's coming. Folks, it's coming. But yeah, we are now on the other side of the trade deadline. And
all that speculation, all those rumors, all everything that was going to happen.
I believe we did say last week that there's a firm possibility that Ken Hughes does nothing.
Yep.
And, it was a giant nothing burger.
It was.
And we're going to talk about it coming up a little bit later in the show. First, let's tell you what to expect today. In our first segment, of course, we're going to recap the two games that the Canadiens played this week. Rick's three stars of the week make their return this week as well. Who does he have on his list? I wonder if it's the same people that you would put on your list for this week. We'll also take a look at the Habs prospect report. We've got a terrific prospect highlight for you, some Laval updates for you as well. And then we're going to hit some highlights from the trade deadline. Obviously, Montreal is not a highlight for trade deadline day, but there were other teams, despite the fact that it took a while to get things going. There were some pretty notable trades. We're going to review some of those, not just for, hey, let's repeat some information, but some of them really directly will affect the Canadiens here down the stretch. And so we want to talk about it from kind of that perspective. Then in our second segment, that's where we tackle our big topic of the week. Another quiet trade deadline for Kent Hughes. We're going to basically ask the question, what happened? and revisit what was on the to-do list. We're going to hear from Kent Hughes, some of his comments about how the day unfolded, how the deadline unfolded for him, and where they go from here, what it means for the Canadians moving forward into this final push of the regular season and beyond. And then, of course, we've got a question for all of you, our Canadians Connection question of the week. And in our final segment, we're going to bring you some great responses to last week's Canadians Connection question of the week. So packed show for you this week. Lots to talk about, lots to analyze, break down, chew up, those types of things. So we won't waste another minute. Don't forget, though, if you want to be in touch with us, we encourage your interaction. If you've got questions, if you've got comments, if you've got opinions, we want to hear them. And the best way for you to do that is to send us a text on our Rocket Sports text line. That is 5853-ROCKET. Once again, that's 5853-ROCKET. All right, so games that the Canadians have played since our last episode. Things kicked off on Tuesday night with a late game, I will admit. I did not stay up for a 10 o'clock start time. So sorry, Habs.
I missed a lot of goal scoring. And yeah. the two games so far in California that we've seen, not too dissimilar. Lots of goals and some big leads. The Sharks had a 3-goal lead that they blew. The Canadians came back, then the Sharks. And it was a wild game. Not a lot of defense, a whole lot of offense. We saw in that San Jose game, Alex Newhook, welcome back, 2 goals in that game. And Oliver Kapanen, Ivan Demidov, they had a goal each in that one. But it was the Macklin Celebrini show, with a 4-point game. And the Canadians in their own zone were just awful. They were just terrible. And we talked about it in our Rocket Sports Slack group. You got a sense right from the beginning of the game, the Sharks' very first goal. It was Cole Caulfield kind of went to clear and turned the puck over. No problem, because Kirby Dach was next in line. He lost the puck battle.
Yeah.
Then Suzuki lost the puck battle. Oh. Then Matheson stepped up. He got beat and went for a skate.
Uh-huh.
And it kind of went like that for the remainder of the game. And it was a horrible defensive effort by the Canadians. Canadians, have trouble. They have no trouble. And we've said they're never die and they'll always come back, but they've had trouble holding leads. They have trouble, 6-on-5. They have trouble on the penalty kill.
Mm-hmm.
And this is this week, in the two games, the two featured games in California, that's where it really stood out.
It did. And ultimately, they lost this game 7-5 to San Jose.
Yeah.
Not a great look. So then it went to Friday night, an odd Friday night game. But this one started at 9 p.m. Eastern, so I at least stuck around for the first period of this one. And immediately just, I think I said in our Slack group, I should just start putting money on the fact that Sam Montembeault is going to give up the first goal that he sees. And who else but Sam Montembeault could give up the first goal twice in one game after a challenge saved him the first time.
And both within the first minute of the game. It was
ridiculous.
The loft...
The floater of the floater first from one that Trouba. Got called back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a floater from Trouba from the blue
20
line.
20 seconds in.
And Montembeault whiffed. By the width of a fingernail, the play was called offside and he got a reprieve. And then
the very next shot he saw, which was shot. The first shot on goal again.
Just 39 seconds in, Cutter Gauthier. Sam Montembeau. Yeah. Well, let's talk about the good in this game.
Yeah.
Cole Caulfield, 2 goals in this game. And up to 37 goals on the season. He's on quite a tear. I think it's safe to say, don't want to jinx him, but he's going to be beyond the 40-goal mark this season and beyond. So 2 goals and an assist for Cole Caulfield. Lane Hutson had a goal and 2 assists. Mm. And again, this was one that, you know, the Canadians were down 3-2 heading into the third period. Just 35 seconds into the third period, Leo Carlson scored to make it 4-2. And then the Canadians came storming back with 3 goals to take a lead and then could not hold the lead. They couldn't hold the lead in 6-on-5. Who is this? Who's the villain? You know him, Chris Kreider, with a goal and 3 assists.
Yeah,
wearing a different uniform, still tormenting the Montreal Canadiens, and it was the Ducks tormenting Sam Montembeau. Sam Montembeau gave up 4 bad goals. He allowed 4 goals from distance, from the point. 3 of them are going to count on the scoreboard, but I include that first one that he got
absolutely
the reprieve on. Sam Montembeau was horrible in this game. And yes, people are going to say, yes, but he made a snow angel save in the second period. It doesn't matter. Sam Montembeau is not only the worst goaltender on the Montreal Canadiens, he's the worst goaltender in the Eastern Conference and one of the worst goaltenders in the National Hockey League, and according to Stats Center, one of the worst goaltenders in Canadiens franchise history.
They saw put this out, tweet that you retweeted,
that worst save percentage. But I mean, and that, yes, just one metric. Take a look at other metrics. Goals saved above expectation. He's like 75th in the league. I think the one that's most telling is the low danger unblocked save percentage. He's bottom 3 in the league on low danger shots. Sam Montembeau is unplayable. The head coach doesn't see it that way and will defend him and keeps inserting him. The Canadians, as our friend Brian in the chat said, the Canadians need points. It's a tough fight for their playoff spot. They've got all kinds of teams around them. They need points. You can't be wasting points by trying to prove that Sam Montembeau is something that he isn't.
And what are you going to do when you make the playoffs? And basically don't have a reliable backup.
Yeah, you sit Sam Montembeau.
Yes. This actually went to the shootout. Anaheim winning in the shootout 6-5. So Montreal scored 10 goals this week and couldn't win. That tells you a lot. And maybe they should stop sending Nick Suzuki out in the shootout.
Yeah,
or maybe Nick Suzuki should come up with a new move.
The shootout choices were bizarre. One leaving the rookies, putting all the pressure on the rookies, Demidov, and Demidov scored to his credit. And then the last shot, the whole weight of the world was dependent on a goal by Oliver Kapanen. That's not how it should work. You put the veterans, you put the captain, you put your top goal scorer out there. But it was Nick Suzuki, and Nick Suzuki can't score in the shootout to save his life. He has 0 for his last 16 shootout attempts. The last time he scored in a shootout, the year was 2023. So he's got to get a new move, or the coach has to stop
putting him out there. Yeah. Like, sorry, Nick, but, you know, call a spade a spade. All right, we said we're going to talk about the good things. So let's talk about your 3 stars for this week. Number one, you've got a defenseman.
Lane Hutson, 25 and a half minutes averaging in those 2 games in California. He had a goal, 3 assists for 4 points. obviously, he had a good week.
He did. I certainly understand why you've got Cole Caulfield in at your second star.
Yeah, I mentioned 37 goals, two goals this week, added an assist for 3 points.
Very happy to see your third star of the week.
Unsung hero Jake Evans. A 3-point week for Jake Evans. He had 3 assists. He led the team with a plus 3. He also led the team in faceoff winning percentage. Best faceoff guy this week at 68%.
Jake Evans.
So great couple of games for Jake Evans on the road.
Definitely. Now, despite the fact that we were just complaining about Nick Suzuki's shootout performance, he does get an honorable mention for you overall this week.
Honorable mention for Nick Suzuki. He had 3 points, minus 2, though. Also, you got to give a nod to Alex Newhook for those 2 goals in the game against San Jose.
Yeah, let's see if he can kind of get something going there. Who for you is, we're not, I don't even think we're going to put Sam Montembeau on this list because Sam Montembeau is beyond struggling. Sam Montembeau is just failing right now. But in terms of struggling, who's this week, after this week, who's having a kind of a tough time of things?
Kirby Doc. Kirby Doc not working out on the first line and was demoted. We'll talk about the reimagined lines a bit later, but Kirby Doc just not working with the Canadiens top line. And obviously the Canadiens defense, they've looked awful. You can add Stefan Robitaille in there if you want. Mm. The Canadiens' defense, their penalty killing, their ability to go 5-on against 6. It's all been bad in their own zone. And that includes, Sam Montembeau should be in there as well, but we'll leave him aside for now.
So through 61 games, the Canadiens' record sits at 33-18-10. That is good enough for 76 points. They are down to 4th in the Atlantic and 8th overall in the NHL. They are in a wild card spot, Rick, but it's getting a little tenuous.
It is. And again, I know it's boring, but I keep an eye on those regulation wins because the points are so tight. That it may come down to a tiebreaker. Regulation wins is one. The Canadiens just with 22 regulation wins. Detroit has 24. Boston, who are behind the Canadiens right now, but they have 26 regulation wins. And of course, Buffalo is pulling away with 31 regulation wins.
Their odds of making the playoffs from Money Puck have dropped 5%. Last week, they had an 85% chance of making the playoffs, down to 80% this week. And they still have the 9th toughest schedule in their final 21 games. So it's not going to get easier from here.
That's right. No wasted points.
No, they got to stop wasting the points. Speaking of the roster and changes to the lines of defensive pairings. So as you said, Doc not working out on that top line. So Caulfield and Suzuki were reunited with Juraj Slafkovský this week.
That's right. And just before we get to that, I just want to mention that we talked about the trade deadline has come and gone. But the other thing that has come and gone is the league's 23-man roster limit. Mm-hmm. It disappeared. Certainly that's good news for the Montreal Canadiens. But as we speak, Patrick Laine remains. He has not yet been activated from injured reserve. But the Canadiens, it doesn't really matter. They can activate him, and they're not going to exceed that roster limit.
That's right.
Yes. As far as the top line goes, that top line was reunited. Caulfield and Suzuki with Slafkovský. Marty St. Louis was reluctant to move Slafkovský. Because the Slafkovský, Kapanen, and Demidov line has been so good. Mm-hmm. But he just hasn't found anyone who's been able to fill that role. And Doc clearly wasn't doing it. And I think the other thing it's fair to say is Slavkovsky hasn't looked like himself since the Olympics.
No.
Everyone kind of expected him to come from the Olympics and take off like a rocket, and he hasn't played very well until recently. So I think that's part of trying to get him going as well. Newhook, a good reintroduction to the lineup on the third line and bumped up to the second line with Kapanen and Demidov, and we'll see how that goes. For now, that leaves Veleno and Texier as the odd guys out, and Evans with Doc moving down from the first line to the third, and Bolduc, and then the veteran line as the fourth line with Dano, Gallagher, and Anderson.
And outside of that, the defense hasn't really changed.
The revolving door that sixth defenseman, yeah, keeps revolving from Jacki to Struble, from Struble to Jacki, and back and forth.
And we'll see. There has not been an official word yet on the starter for Saturday night's game in L.A. I would assume that it is Dobesh, since it's a back-to-back and Montembeau played on Friday night. But we'll just have to wait and see. Please, God, let it be Jakub Dobesh. all right, let's turn our attentions from the NHL squad to the prospects in the Habs Prospect Report.
It's time for the Rocket Report. The Rocket Sports Media Team is your premier source for information about the Laval Rocket, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens, as well as Habs prospects playing in the CHL, NCAA, and leagues around the world.
Well, yes, we're going to highlight a Montreal Canadiens prospect today, and gosh darn it, it's going to be Medicine Hat Tigers defenseman Bryce Pickford again. This kid can't quit. Can't quit, won't quit. Can't stop, won't stop. If he can transition even half of what he's doing right now in junior to the pro level, he'll be phenomenal.
Yeah.
If he could just do half of what he's doing right now. He was our highlight last week as well. Well, he's highlighted again this week because his goal streak and point streak is still going.
When we last checked in, he had a 4-game goal streak. It's now up to a 7-game goal streak, 8-game point streak. This week, in 3 games, he added 5 goals. and that included a hat trick on Wednesday night against the Brandon Wheat Kings. So after 50 games, Bryce Pickford has 42 goals, 36 assists for 78 points. Truly remarkable.
And he's a plus 49, plus 49 on the season. He's a defenseman, yeah, folks. I know I enunciate that every single time. He's a defenseman. That's why I say, if he could even do half of that as a pro, 21 goals, 18 assists, that would be phenomenal.
And again, we'll remind you that he was, when he was first eligible, bypassed in the draft. And then second time through, it was the Canadians who picked him up in the third round, 81st overall, great pick by the Canadians scouting staff.
I hope this kid has a great future ahead of him, because he's certainly making things exciting for Medicine Hat this year. And that's just really phenomenal. For the Laval Rocket, their struggles continued on Wednesday. They got shut out by the Syracuse Crunch on Wednesday night, but Friday marked the finally the return of Jacob Fowler to the crease. And sure enough, Laval was able to get a 4-2 victory over Rochester on home ice. And that shutout by Syracuse was at Place Belle. That doesn't happen very often on home ice for Laval. But Fowler getting back in the net on Friday really helped them out. They needed that. They had been on a bit of a skid. And so they are currently sitting, they've got 14 games left in the regular season. They've got 75 points on the season. They are still first overall in the North Division. They've dropped down to 5th overall in the AHL, but they should, knock on wood, should still be pretty stable going forward. They play Rochester again on home ice on Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock, and then they don't play again until next Friday when they travel to Utica. So
now the Lovell Rocket have played more games, I think, than anyone else, certainly in the East. Mm-hmm.
But lots of game in hand.
There, which means lots of games in hand for other teams.
Yeah.
And don't look now, but the Syracuse Crunch, they've won their last four games, four in a row, and nine of their last 10. They have three games in hand on Laval and are just 3 points back. So Laval has had things their way. They've been at the top of the North for quite some time and cruising along. But the recent little hiccup that they had and the surge by the Syracuse Crunch, it's going to be a bit of a push for the Laval Rocket to make sure that they maintain that first overall position in the North. They only have 14 games left on their schedule.
Joel Bouchard making a comeback against his former team. He is the bench boss for the Syracuse Crunch. Also should mention, trade deadline, NHL trade deadline came and went yesterday for the first time in, I don't even know how many years. It's been a while since this has happened. The Canadians did not paper transaction anyone from the NHL squad down to Laval, which means that no one currently on the NHL roster will be sent to Laval to help them out in the playoffs when the Rocket gets the postseason.
So there's no help coming.
Nope. There is not. And so that is something to keep in mind. And also keep in mind the AHL trade deadline extends for another week. So you may see some transactions happening for Laval or for other teams throughout this next week, because the AHL trade deadline is different than the NHL trade deadline. For the ECHL, the Trois-Rivières Lions, they are currently sixth in the North Division, 21st overall in the ECHL. They've stalled out a little bit again, they're going to need to find something pretty special in their back pocket to finish out the season if they have any hopes of the postseason.
And part of that is goaltending, with Hunter Jones up with Laval. He has since returned, with Jacob Fowler coming back on Friday night.
That's right. So speaking of the NHL trade deadline, let's just highlight some of the notable things that did occur, many of which do directly have an effect for the Montreal Canadiens. The first one being that there were plenty of people who were pounding their fist on the table that they wanted Kent Hughes to get in on this. I'm glad Kent Hughes stayed out of it. But Colorado acquired basically Kadri going back home. Colorado getting forward Nazem Kadri and a fourth round 2027 draft pick from Calgary for a whole boatload of stuff, Rick.
Yeah. Was it as much as you might have expected? I don't know. A conditional first round pick in 2028.
Yeah.
A conditional second round pick in 27. Forward Victor Olofsson and unsigned forward prospect Maximilian Curran. So, you know, could the Canadians have matched that offer or put together a strong offer? Well, argue amongst yourselves about that. I'm with you. I'm glad that they stayed out of these particular sweepstakes.
Sure. Then it was, let's just trade all the defensemen around the league. How many of you raised your hand? How many of us woke up on Saturday morning?
Friday morning, yep.
Or Friday morning, I should say. A little bit like, wait, am I reading that correctly? Washington traded John Carlson? Sure enough, Anaheim Ducks acquiring longtime defenseman John Carlson from the Washington Capitals for a conditional first rounder in 2026 and a third round pick in 2027. End of an era in Washington.
big move for GM, Ducks GM, Pat Verbeek. And you know, so the Ducks, what are they doing involved? Well, after their win against the Canadiens, the Anaheim Ducks are the number one team in the Pacific Division.
And that was without John Carlson in the lineup. He was still traveling. So I'll see how that changes things for Anaheim. While we're out west, the Edmonton Oilers got themselves a right shot defenseman, nabbing Connor Murphy from the Chicago Blackhawks for a second round pick in 2028.
Now, there were a number of defensemen, as you said, that were moved, and either our defensemen that maybe the Canadians might have been in on, or you know, will shore up some of the Canadians' competitors. With respect to Edmonton getting Connor Murphy from Chicago, this is something we're told. Pierre LeBrun said that the Canadians were in on Connor Murphy and tried to get him from Chicago. Why? Connor Murphy, a right shot defenseman, would have certainly that sixth defenseman trying to improve on improve the right side and improve that bottom pairing. Connor Murphy would have fit right in. He wore an A in Chicago. Connor Murphy is a very good penalty killer. You may be surprised to know that Chicago is the number one penalty kill team in the NHL. I'm not saying that's all due to just simply Connor Murphy, but he certainly plays a role in it. And also, Chicago retained 50% of the salary on this. So all of those things, and the fact that the Habs are what, 27th in the league in penalty killing, they can't hold leads when on the 6-5 situations. This on paper, this looked to be tailor-made for Kent Hughes, but he could not get it done and lost out to the Edmonton Oilers.
Dallas got themselves a right shot defenseman as well, acquiring Tyler Myers from the Vancouver Canucks for a second rounder in 2027 and a fourth rounder in 2029.
Tyler Myers had a say in where he was going to go. He picked Dallas. But when you look at that, the payment, second round pick and a fourth round pick, just a fourth round pick more than it cost for Phil Deneau, and we know how ineffective he's been so far, hasn't been able to solve the Canadiens' penalty killing woes.
Now, when we talk about how some of these things are going to affect the Montreal Canadiens, the Buffalo Sabres already had a pretty decent decor, and they got even better. Because they acquired Logan Stanley and Luke Shen from Winnipeg.
Yeah, and in this case, it was very public, unfortunately very public, that the Buffalo Sabres were going after Colton Parayko from St. Louis. That fell apart when Parayko said no thanks. He would not waive his no trade to go to Buffalo. The Sabres said no matter. We're not throwing up our hands. We're not giving up. We're going out. We intend to get stronger. And they did, adding, two defensemen from the Winnipeg Jets.
And when we're talking about how things affect the Canadiens, Detroit is right in there as well. The Detroit Red Wings got defenseman Justin Falk from St. Louis, for a first and third round picks in the 2026 draft. They also sent back the defenseman Justin Hall and an unsigned forward prospect, Dmitry Buchelnikov.
Justin Falk, probably not of interest to the Canadiens, but again, here's a team that is competing with the Canadiens for a playoff spot. Who got better?
Mm-hmm. So those were just some of the notable ones and ones that will likely have an effect on the Canadiens. It was a painful trade deadline day. It's painful.
Yeah, it was.
Because nothing really happened until like 2:45. and it was
full. On the TSN counter, they were, what was it, six trades, seven trades by...
by 2 or something?
By 2:30, yeah.
Yeah, it was painful. It was just painful. And we're going to talk about how painful it was on the Montreal Canadiens side of things when we come back after our first break here on the show. We're going to bring you a message from our sponsors over at DraftKings. And then it was another quiet trade deadline for Kent Hughes. We are going to take a look at what happened or what didn't happen. All that and more. Stay with us. You're listening to the Canadiens Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, is built for the fastest game on ice. With player props and live betting, every shift, every shot, every save gives you options to get in on the game with DraftKings Sportsbook. And hey, new customers, if you bet just $5 and if your bet wins, you'll get $300 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. That's code THPN to turn $5 into $300 in bonus bets if your bet wins. In partnership with DraftKings, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Connecticut, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino in Kansas, wager tax pass-through may apply in Illinois. 21 plus in most states. Void in Ontario. Restrictions apply. Bet must win to receive bonus bets which expire in 7 days. Minimum odds required. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/audio. Limited time offer. Copyright 2026. NHL. All rights reserved.
And welcome back to the Canadiens Connection podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio. Once again, my name is Amy Johnson. I'm here in the studio with our president and founder here at Rocket Sports, my wonderful co-host, Rick Stevens. Be sure you're following him on Twitter, if you're not doing so already, at Rocket Sports. That's our main account here at Rocket Sports. So not only, yes, is it your way to follow Rick and his coverage, but it's also the place where you'll get links to all of our content across all platforms, whether it's podcasts, whether it's videos, whether it's written articles on Hockey Hot Stove, you name it, it'll all come there. So you'll want to be sure to follow at Rocket Sports. You can also follow at Habs Connection. That's this podcast, at Habs Connection on X, on Facebook, and on Instagram. And if you haven't done so already, take a moment and hit that subscribe button. We don't ever want you to miss out on a single weekly episode of the Canadiens Connection podcast. We are here 52 weeks a year. You know, when the clock struck 3 o'clock Eastern on NHL trade deadline day, it was pretty clear that fans of the Canadiens were disappointed in their general manager. But they had hope, because there were still insider reports floating around on any of the big broadcasts that Montreal might have something in the NHL's trade queue, even though the deadline had technically passed. Word was, oh, Montreal's got something cooking. There's something in the queue. Well, in the meantime, there was absolute crickets coming from the Canadiens communication staff. There was no, hey, we're done for the day message. No, oh, Kent Hughes is going to speak with the media at XYZ time. We've seen them do that in the past to indicate things are wrapped up. But there wasn't really anything to signal that the day was over. And so everyone kind of sat on the edge of their seats going, oh, okay, is something actually going to happen? Because up until then, the Canadiens had done absolutely nothing on trade deadline day. Almost 90 minutes after the deadline, so we're talking close to 4:30 Eastern time, the Habs GM finally addresses the media and had this to say. Basically, for the second year in a row, Kent Hughes not able to complete a move to help his team. They've done nothing. And as Rick just mentioned, you know, teams all around Montreal, teams that are battling for those playoff positions like the Sabres, the Red Wings, the Islanders for sure, the Blue Jackets, they all found ways to improve their rosters, but the Canadiens did nothing. So, Rick, the question now becomes kind of twofold. A, what does that mean? And B, was this an instance of Kent Hughes being patient and disciplined? Or did he and the Canadians kind of miss an opportunity here in what's starting to become a very competitive race down the stretch?
So this is the second consecutive year that Kent Hughes stood pat, did nothing at the trade deadline. And I think it's easy to point to last year's trade deadline and say that Kent Hughes made the right move by not being a seller, by not moving the pending free agents. And he kept his group together on the request of Nick Suzuki. That's been told over and over and over again. Putting in there, trusting that they would be able to pull together and pull through and earn a playoff spot, which they did. That earned them the opportunity and the opportunity to get some experience, to get some playoff mileage, which they did. And I think all of that was I think fans understood that and in the end applauded that.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a very different situation this year. There are certainly absolutely higher expectations. It was a bit of a surprise for the Canadians to squeak into the playoffs on the last day of the regular season last year.
Mm-hmm.
There's expectations that the Canadians will be there. There's expectations that they might even win a round. And there's also the full knowledge that there are issues with this team.
Mm-hmm.
If not looking to build for the future, there were issues that needed to be addressed, and I think that's abundantly clear, because it wouldn't be part of the plan for Kent Hughes to go out and add a Phil Deneau for their long term plan. Phil's not going to be here when they become that perennial contender. That it was a stopgap, and frankly, one that hasn't worked. Yes, Phil Deneau can win a faceoff, but beyond that, he's really slowed down. He isn't as effective on the penalty kill, and we've seen him not be able to keep pace, especially when Marty deploys him. At times like overtime.
Mm-hmm.
So, was there an opportunity missed that maybe could have turned into the kind of player that becomes part of the core and beyond? It sounds like it. But were there also opportunities to make some short-term deals? And I think that we have to kind of deal with them separately. Kent Hughes, he was a player agent. He learned effectively how to leverage the media. That's not my words. Those are Kent Hughes' words.
Mm-hmm.
Is that one
From
of the tools,
yeah.
one of the tools he was going to use was his ability to leverage the media. So after 90 minutes, and we don't know what, or almost 90 minutes, we don't know what was going on in that period of time. Trades had to be in the queue, so it is not like they were negotiating afterwards. What was going on? What exactly was going on? But when Hughes came out, he had to tell fans something. He had to engage the fans in some way. And he teased his audience by hinting at a, quote, significant deal that almost happened. Yeah. That they didn't get there. It wasn't a home run. They struck out, but they swung for the fences. And quote, it was a significant deal for us, end quote, he said. And that is something that they worked on right up until the last minute. Didn't work out. But then if you wanted to carry the tease a little bit further, you don't want to stifle that hope. Kent tossed in, yeah, but it's something we can revisit in the summer. And again, so, you know, don't get too upset because we're in on something really big, and you really would have been excited about it. I think, you know, if you go through all of the possibilities, and if it's something that can be revisited in the summer, could it be anything else but the Robert Thomas deal? That's kind of where all of he was pointing, although not revealing what it was all about, obviously. But I think maybe kept fans satisfied. But what about short-term deals? What about things to deal with the here and now? And maybe we should just remind, and we went over this last week, but remind people what Kent Hughes's trade deadline to-do list was. Last week we talked about Kent Hughes having two lists. One, things that he needed to do at the trade deadline, and things that were off-season longer projects. Mm-hmm. The first and foremost, and this we didn't come up with these. These were, some of these things were things that Kent Hughes said or reading between the lines. The first one obviously was moving Patrick Laine, and moving his contract, and that would have given Kent Hughes the ability to make other moves. That was kind of a must. It didn't happen. Kent Hughes wasn't able to move Patrick Laine, and that kind of handcuffed him for much of the rest of what he did. Looking to upgrade the sixth defenseman, that was mentioned by Kent Hughes. An upgrade on Arbor Jacki, an upgrade on Jaden Struble. They couldn't have completed that Connor Murphy deal. They couldn't have found a defenseman as an upgrade. Apparently not. And then the last was moving some surplus forwards, not having all of these extras, forwards that are sitting on the sidelines that were very valuable as injury replacements, but not so valuable now when you have a healthy lineup.
So now, and I will say, I mentioned this earlier in the show. Well, before I get there, let me just finish kind of what you started there saying, that the other category was kind of the off-season and longer term projects on Kent Hughes' to-do list. And that would be finding a top four right shot defenseman. We saw a couple of those go at the deadline, and adding a top six forward in general, adding a winger for the top line. We see Slafkovský back up there with Suzuki and Caulfield, longer term projects.
And that's still on. I mean, maybe that where the Robert Thomas would fit in that category, and maybe he was trying to get that done at the trade deadline, and it's still open for him to revisit, as he said, in the summer. Mm-hmm. But those three trade deadline items on the list went unmet.
That's right. And we said, and I said this in the first segment, I'll say it again. We did say last week that this was a possibility that Kent Hughes might do nothing. Mm-hmm. And when we talked about it last week, we said, and that would be okay too. However, that was before that opinion. I'm going to speak for both of us. I'm just going to go out on a limb and speak. That opinion of, and that would be okay too, was before seeing what all of Montreal's rival teams did. That the Sabres and the Islanders and the Red Wings and the Blue Jackets and everybody who's battling with Montreal did the things that Montreal needed to do as well. That changed I won't speak for both of us, but I will say for me, that changes my opinion on last week. I was fine if he didn't do anything because I didn't want him to oversell. I didn't want him to, but now having looked at what everybody else did, he needed to do something. You said short-term deals.
Well, that's upgrading the defenseman, moving Patrick Laine. Those are things that were on his short-term list. Mm-hmm. For the most part, when he came to the microphone, he was talking about this big home run swing that he struck out on. And so I guess the question was, were there short-term, did the Canadians consider getting involved in short-term deals? And here's what his response was.
Well, we looked at deals that could help us kind of more in the short term, right? But those deals you have to look at, as I said, our roster as it sits today, what we have coming and how those decisions affect both the here and the future of it. And if we had found a deal that we thought made sense at the right price, we would have done it.
So they considered it. And as they've said in the past, they don't want to bring in someone who's going to block, a prospect, mm-hmm. block paths. It has to fit into their long-term view. And basically he said, we considered short-term deals. We didn't find one at the price we were looking to pay.
I'm just going to play devil's advocate here and say, well, maybe there needed to be some more aggressive work done on getting Patrick Laine moved out, like needed to be done. And then maybe you would have had some more trade capital to work with to make some of those short-term deals.
So maybe they tried to get involved, but Buffalo found out, there was players out there who had no trade deals, where players said, "Nuh-uh, I'm not coming to Montreal."
There were a couple of calls where we were on the no trade list, but it was interesting that the feedback was maybe we had been on from a prior time and that they were willing to waive if a deal came through. So I think there's a recognition around the league that we're heading in the right direction. We understand that we have to keep moving. We got to keep moving the ball forward to get where we want to be.
So that's good news. Mm-hmm. Yes, Montreal was on some of those no trade lists, but maybe if things had worked out, if they were able to come to the right arrangements for a deal, that the player may have considered waiving their no trade to go to the Canadiens. That's absolutely positive.
Yeah, and as he said, but they have to keep continue to move in that direction. They can't lose sight of the progress they've made in that area, and they have to keep improving that
and continue to be a place where that would be a destination, a sought after destination for players.
Mm-hmm. One of those three things that you mentioned that were kind of on the trade deadline, needs to be done at the trade deadline, was move the surplus of bottom six forwards. They didn't do that. And Kent Hughes did talk about the actual logjam of forwards.
Well, I mean, we have, right? Like, we traded a second round pick for Phil Deneau. If there was another deal that required that type of return that we thought moved the needle for us, we would have done that too. But I think part of the message to the group is, we like these players. We've got a lot of good hockey players. We've got good hockey players that aren't playing games right now for our team. So for us to add to that logjam, we wanted to know that it really was meaningful enough for us to do it.
Again, in that particular regard, and when we spoke about it last week, reading between the lines, we said there's a logjam of forwards that's going to cause a problem when you get involved in wanting to add another forward. That should be addressed as a short-term trade deadline item off your to-do list. It apparently factored into the discussions, this logjam factored into the discussions about adding somebody else because they didn't want to increase that log jam. Now, when I say that really only applies to the forwards. Mm-hmm. So there is nothing there that prevented explicitly adding a defenseman.
And if that's the case, then you have to make a decision. Is the forward that you could acquire going to be more valuable for your team right now than one of the forwards who, as Kent Hughes just said, is a good hockey player but isn't even playing games right now? And if that's the case, then you have to make the tough decision. Send that guy out. Bring in the guy who's going to be even more effective and who might actually play games.
And, of course, there's always the option of putting a player on waivers, sending them to Laval. They seem very reluctant to do that with Joe Valeno or Alex Texier. They did it with Sammy Blais. There's ways around it, but not places that they wanted to go. But the die is cast. This is the team. The team is set. That externally they didn't do anything to address the situation. So that only increases the pressure internally. Mm-hmm. More pressure on the players. To be better on the PK, to be better in their own, in the defensive zone, to be better at the end of the game, defending it 6-on-5, and much more pressure on the coaching staff. Marty St. Louis, particularly Stéphane Robidas, to come up with solutions over this last month or so of the regular season, because they can't go into the playoffs playing the way they are in their own zone, playing the way they are when they're down a man.
No, they can't. They need to figure that out pretty quickly. As you said, they can't go into the playoffs with those kinds of issues. So our question for you this week on the Canadians Connection question of the week is, after this NHL deadline has now passed, are you more or less confident that the Canadians will make the playoffs? Are you more or less confident that the Canadians will make the playoffs? And if you think that they are going to make the playoffs, are they going to win at least one round? That's what we want to know. After this trade deadline, are you more or less confident that the Canadians will make the playoffs? And if you think they are going to make the playoffs, are they going to win a round? Send in your answers to the Rocket Sports text line. That's at 5853-ROCKET. Drop a comment on Spotify to leave your answer. Drop a comment on our YouTube channel to leave an answer. If you've not been to our YouTube channel, you can find it at insidethecanadians.com. You can also, of course, hit us up at Habs Connection on X, on Facebook or Instagram, and leave a comment, leave the answer to that question there as well. Very interested to see. I can't say that I'm more confident. I'm slightly less confident that they're going to make the playoffs. I still think they're going to. Whether they can win a round, I think that I am less confident of. But we'll see. See what happens, and we'll see what all of you have to say about it as well. We are going to take our last break here on the Canadians Connection podcast. You're going to hear from our sponsors over at DraftKings. And when we come back, we are bringing you some good replies to last week's Canadians Connection question of the week. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, is built for the fastest game on ice. With player props and live betting, every shift, every shot, every save gives you options to get in on the game with DraftKings Sportsbook. And hey, new customers, if you bet just $5 and if your bet wins, you'll get $300 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. That's code THPN to turn $5 into $300 in bonus bets if your bet wins. In partnership with DraftKings, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Connecticut, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino in Kansas, wager tax pass-through may apply in Illinois. 21 plus in most states. Void in Ontario. Restrictions apply. Bet must win to receive bonus bets which expire in 7 days. Minimum odds required. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/audio. Limited time offer. Copyright 2026. NHL. All rights reserved.
And welcome back to episode 390 of the Canadians Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio. Don't forget, subscribe if you haven't done so already. And a lot of times we get people saying, you know, what can I do to help out? You know, how do I spread the word the best about Canadians Connection podcast? Well, you can do a few things for us. One, if you are listening or watching on a platform where you can leave a review, whether it's, you know, a 5-star review or a like or anything like that, then if you would do that, that helps us a lot. And also, if you can share the episode, no matter what platform you're listening to, right there in the player, there should be a share button. And all you have to do is tap share, pick your favorite social media platform and just share the episode with your followers. That's a great way to help us out. Doesn't cost you a thing and only takes a second. So thank you in advance for helping us out in that manner. Don't forget to get in your answers to this week's Canadians Connection question of the week. After this trade deadline, are you more or less confident that the Canadians will make the playoffs? And if you answer that you're confident that they are going to make the playoffs, let us know if you think they're going to win a round or not. Last week, we asked you what should be the top priority for Kent Hughes and the Montreal Canadiens at the NHL trade deadline this week. And actually, before we get to that, I'm going to actually back this up. I'm going to take that back. Before we get to last week's Canadiens Connection question of the week, I'm going to turn things over to Rick. You've got some comments and responses on X that relate to something we talked about earlier in the show, and that is Sam Montembeau's performance. And you just wanted to bring, we've heard a lot from fans about their patience level with Sam Montembeau.
Canadians fans were upset after Friday's game. They were upset with the performance of Sam Montembeau against the Ducks. They were upset that Marty St. Louis keeps trotting him out there. And then they were really upset with Marty St. Louis coming out and defending Sam Montembeau. Chris G on X for our Rocket Sports team put out Marty St. Louis saying, "I think everybody has a part in the goals. It's not all on the goalie. Obviously, his part's magnified, but there are five other guys in front of him who can do a better job." And we talked about the defense being better. But when, you know, when Sam is letting in goals that are not screened, that are floaters, yeah, that are coming from the blue line, just whiffing on goals, then fans are upset. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to read a couple of responses. This one comes from The Damn Smokehouse on X. He says, in reply to both Chris and I, "When the guy can't stop a non-screen shot from 40 feet out, it isn't on anyone else but the goalie." And
that is correct.
That's well said. This comes from The Tin Man on X. And this is labeled at Marty, "Always protecting your favorites and a short leash on others. Blah, 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 same BS over and over. I love the Habs, but something about this coach irks me. Maybe it's just me."
No, it's not just you.
Two comments that let you know the mood of of the fans right now. And I think that, you know, that the Canadians have been, we look at those percentages for making the playoffs and they're above 80% and feeling comfortable. But things are getting a little bit nerve-wracking given their recent mm-hmm. performance in California. They have an opportunity to make amends. We record on Saturday afternoon tonight against the Los Angeles Kings. And that would go a long way to easing the fears, the tension that's increasing amongst the Montreal fan base.
Definitely. And I mean, as you had reminded everyone, last year, no one really expected the Canadians to make the playoffs at all, particularly with how they started the season. And so everyone was just so pleased that they did make the postseason. Okay, that was the win. This year, the expectations were much different. This year, with how they have performed up until now, has raised those expectations even further. And as expectations go up, the amount of patience that fans will have for bad coaching decisions, bad performances on the ice, no accountability for certain players, that the amount of leash that fans will allow is going to shrink. And you're starting to see that happening already, just based off of those couple of comments that you made. All right, so now let's just roll back to last week's Canadians Connection question of the week. And I should say, if any of you have a comment about the Sam Montembeau situation, Marty's continued defense of him, that please, by all means, send those comments in to us as well. We will be happy to read your opinions on them as well. But last week, for our question of the week, we asked you what should be the top priority for Kent Hughes and the Canadians at the trade deadline this week. And on YouTube, at PMoranFidelt replied and said, if anything, it would be getting that sixth defenseman. Sorry to say they didn't do that. He goes on to say, other than that, I would just stay with the team we have and get ready for the playoffs. Appreciate the comment. And yes, I think getting that sixth defenseman, just strengthening that back end up a little bit, would have been a great target. There was obviously options to choose from. Unfortunately, they didn't come to fruition for Montreal. So what are they facing this week? Well, they play on the road again Saturday night, finishing up the Western road trip with a visit to the LA Kings. LA was not quiet at the trade deadline, so we'll see what a slightly new look Los Angeles Kings team does against Montreal Saturday night. Tuesday night, Toronto comes to town, so it's a bit of a rivalry matchup. Toronto at Montreal on Tuesday night, and Wednesday night, it's a back-to-back. Montreal then turns around and heads to Ottawa for a 7:30 start against the Senators on Wednesday night.
Basically two back-to-backs this upcoming week, the Tuesday, Wednesday, then the Saturday and Sunday, both of those games at the Bell Center. Yeah. So we're going to be, I expect we'll see Sam Montembeau. We better see a better Sam Montembeau.
Oh, please. Don't forget, if you haven't done so already, tap subscribe because our next episode of the Canadians Connection podcast will be next Saturday, March 14th. We don't want you to miss that. And until then, we just say thanks for being here with us. Hopefully, this show was a little more exciting than the trade deadline was for you. And we're always going to be here every single week to break down all of the latest happenings with the Montreal Canadiens and their prospects. And we look forward to seeing you again next time on the Canadiens Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio.
Click subscribe so you never miss an episode of Canadiens Connection. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Rocket Sports.